Many people believe tonight that you know Jesus. Do you believe he knows you? Okay. Everybody look at the person next to you and say, I know Jesus. Say it again. Say, I know Jesus. If I told you that some needy, desperate person came to Jesus and asked him for help, and he refused to do it, would you believe that? Now, y'all look up here at me. You'll get a chance to meet her after a while. She ain't going nowhere for about a week. She might stay here the rest of her life. Look at the person next to you and say, I know Jesus. Or about him anyway. He's a good man, ain't he? Huh? He said, call upon me, and I will answer. Said, he that cometh to me, I'll in no wise cast out. Now to him that is able. See? Seek, and I'll be found of those that search for me. All the positiveness that you can find. Nobody's turned away. Nobody's rejected. Not by Jesus. Not by Jesus now. By your church maybe. But not by Jesus. By some other race you might be rejected. But not by him. The most remarkable thing about Jesus Christ is he knows every single low down, dirty, rotten thing about you and still loves you. Now, that's more than your mama do. You tell your mama about some of the low down things you do, mama says, I don't believe that. My boy wouldn't do that. My girl wouldn't do that. I hope you fellas come back. Okay. Now I'm going to say to you again, if I told you that some needy, desperate, helpless, hopeless person came to Jesus and asked him for help, and he refused to do it, would you believe that? Everybody that would, now some of you people heard me preach this before, so don't get smart now, mess me up now, okay? But everybody that believes that if you came to Christ and asked for help and you was in need, he'd help you. Hold your hand up. Is there anybody here that believes he wouldn't help you? Well, then I'm going to shock you off your little old wits tonight. There are three characteristics in every story in the Bible, especially in the New Testament. Three principal situations or characteristics. Think I ought to wait till these folk get in? If they come in late, I'm going to be in trouble, see, because I'm going to get in the middle of something here. You understand? So we'll just wait a minute, all right? True or false? Okay. You know, people are often talking about how the devil's after them. You ever hear that? Huh? Constantly in church they say, the devil's after me. Well, you see, that's really bad because you're supposed to be after the devil. My father used to be a rabbit hunter. And he used to raise and grow little beagle dogs, little 13-inch beagles. And them things were very priceless. I mean, they cost a lot of money. And I often wondered what my daddy would do if he took the beagle dog that had been trained to chase rabbits. My daddy used to love to hear the dogs chase the rabbits. Now, you know, there's a lot of things about rabbits. See, a cottontail, if you scare up a cottontail from this section right here, he may run in any direction, but he won't run far. He'll run 100 yards or two, then he'll start making a turn, left to right. and he will come back right directly over the place where you scared him up at. See? So if you're hunting with a dog, you scare up the rabbit, the dog will chase the rabbit as far. Watch you folks come in. We have some seats over here. Still got plenty of room for you. Come on in. We're glad to have you. Don't cost nothing to come in. We don't care how you're dressed. Anybody don't like the way you dress, we'll make them take you down to Kmart tomorrow and buy you something. That's right. God bless you. Oh, I see it. Them folk. You didn't want to stay out there no how, did you? A dog will chase a rabbit, first of all, as far as he can see it. And then when the rabbit gets out of sight, the dog will then depend upon his smell. And it'll go back and forth like this. And every time his nose smells a rabbit, he'll bark. Now the rabbit's sitting out there. He's smart too, see? He's sitting waiting for the bark. And every time the dog barks, the rabbit takes another hop. He stays one hop ahead of the dog. See, the dog can't run him right down. He got to depend on his nose, see? So he's going back and forth. He's running all around. And every time his nose smells where the rabbit was sitting, he'll go, rah, 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 and the old rabbit will go, whoop. And so you would just, Daddy would always say to me, now stand right there. So where'd the rabbit go? I said, he just left from there. He said, well, stand right there now. And he said, now listen. And after a while, you hear the dog start turning that way or turning that way. Now you know the rabbit's at least 100 yards ahead of him. So you don't listen to where the dog barks. You start looking over here or over here, whatever way the dog turns. See, you start looking. And then you watch. And pretty soon the dog will bark and you'll see the rabbit hop. And you just put the gun there and hold it and wait. Just wait. Used to shoot him with 22s. Yeah, my daddy wouldn't shoot no dog with a shotgun. I'm a rat with a shotgun. That was on sporting. Yeah. Anybody hit a rat with a shotgun? Big old pattern like that, poor thing, animal chance. Daddy said, if you're going to do it right, do it with 22. And shoot him through the head. So you just put the gun right on the old rabbit. Wait till he barked. When the dog barked, the rabbit hopped. When he hit the ground, you pull the trigger. Dead rabbit. Next time the dog barked, no hop. I often wonder what my daddy would have done if the dog would have come running back to him saying, Master, save me, the rabbit's after me. I believe he'd have shot the dog. We're waiting on you folk. We still got some more chairs here. Everybody try to move in a little bit. They're coming in tonight. Oh, that's the Murray family. Look at that, honey. Yeah, boy, that gang's growing so big every time I see them. That family's growing right up there, Mother. I know these folk for many years. Good to see you. Y'all still saved? Mother, you're getting younger and the girls are getting older. How you doing that? All right. Praise the Lord. Young man asked me to tell some stories, see, so I'm telling a few while I'm waiting on these folk to come in. Like the old fella riding through the Texas panhandle with some greyhound dogs. And the dogs needed some rest and some recreation, so they pulled the train off to the side of the railroad and they turned the dogs loose. And one of them dogs scared up a Texas jackrabbit. Now, a Texas jackrabbit, he runs a lot different than a cottontail. Texas jackrabbit, boy, he heads up as fast as he can go straight on and he don't stop. He may go 10 miles. And he take big jumps, 20 feet. The old greyhound dog saw this old rabbit and started after him, and boy, they were both, in a matter of 5 minutes, they was out of sight and out of sight. The old guy goes up to the engineer and says, disconnect my car, because I can't leave that dog. That's a very expensive dog, and I got to wait. So the fellow was staying with him. They disconnected his little old special car he had on the train, put it on the siding, and the train went on its way. Man gonna sit there and wait for his dog. Dog costs too much money. 3 days goes by and the dog don't come back. On the end of the fourth day, the old dog comes back dragging his belly and his tongue hanging out. And the man looked at the owner and said, there's your dog. You know, I said, I knew he'd come back. He said, but he ain't got the rabbit. Huh. I said, I could have told you he wasn't going to catch the rabbit. What do you mean? I said, I thought you told me the Greyhound's the fastest thing on four legs. He said, it is. He said, that's the fastest one I got. I said, but I could have told you I wasn't going to catch the rabbit. He said, how? Why? Why? I said, man. He said, don't you understand the dog was running for fun? The rabbit? He was running for his life. That's why some of you folk ain't getting the victory. You're just funning. That's why some of you aren't living for God like you ought to. You're just funning. All right. Yeah. All right. You serve God like you play around with your marriage. Right. I have actually had people tell me that marriage is a 50-50 proposition. What do you do with the other 50%? Amen. Amen. All right. If your wife gives 50% and you get 50%, you're still short 100%. Now, I'm going to get this crowd awake here tonight. Hey, back, brother. Okay. You hear me? There ain't no 50-50 marriage. You give 100%, and the other one gives 100%. Hello. And if you don't expect it to work. That's good preaching, Ralph. Stay with it, son. Praise the Lord. Too many of us are funning. Funning with God, that's right. I'm gonna try out the Lord like the young man called me one time wanted me to marry him. I said, well, you know this is supposed to be for the rest of your life. Oh, I thought I was gonna try it for 6 months. If it don't work, I'll just get rid of it, you know. That's what a lot of them are doing. I'm gonna go to church and try it out for a while. God don't work, I'll just find something else. Now, you people that came in toward the end, toward the whatever, I asked the question, somebody had asked the Lord Jesus Christ to do something for them, a needy, helpless, hopeless person, and he refused to help them. Would you believe that if I told you that? Well, these new folk don't believe it either. Okay. In every story in the Bible that Jesus dealt with, in every individual story of healing or deliverance, there's three characteristics. First one is a needy person, which represents you in most cases. I hope it does. The second one is the person who gets in the way, which could also represent you in some cases. Hello. And the third one is the deliverer, which is Jesus Christ, who never gets in the way. In every case, you find that. You find a needy person, someone trying to hinder the deliverance. Oh, yeah. And then Jesus bringing the deliverance. Now, I'm going to tell you that Jesus Christ and God Almighty does not help everybody all the time in every circumstance. Now, the way I got this sermon was, I was sitting in a church one time and the preacher got up and he said this. He said, God answers prayer three ways. Yes, no, and wait a while. That sounded so good. Everybody said, amen, amen, that's right, amen. And I'm sitting in the Lord says, boy, son, that is wrong. He said, you got to straighten it out. I said, why always me? Why am I always the one who got to get up and tell this fine preacher in his church he's preaching something that's not true? Don't you think it's time we answer the question why we're not getting answers? Don't you think we ought to find out what's wrong? Now let me read a story for you. I told you there's a story in the Bible where somebody came to Jesus and he refused to help him. Absolutely, positively just refused. I'll read it for you. And from thence he arose and went unto the borders of Tyre and Sidon and entered into a house and would have no man know it, but he could not be hid. Isn't that remarkable? Got Jesus Christ living. You can't hide him. You better not be messing around because he's going to show up at the wrong time. For a certain woman whose young daughter had an unclean spirit heard of him and came and fell at his feet. The woman was a Greek a Syrophoenician by nation. And she besought him that he would cast forth the devil out of her daughter. Now, I'm reading from the Mark's account of it. There's other accounts of it. In one of the other accounts, when he got to this place, she came to him. She fell down at his feet. And she cried out. And here's what she said. O Lord, thou son of David, my daughter is grievously vexed with a devil. Next phrase. And he answered her not a word. That's contrary to everything we heard, isn't it? He said, call upon me, I'll answer. He said, call upon me, and I'll answer. Whosoever shall call upon the name of the Lord shall be saved, or shall be delivered. But here comes a woman, and she calls, Jesus, thou son of David, have mercy on me. My daughter is grievously vexed with the devil. Next word. And he answered her, not a word. Now maybe that don't trouble you, but that troubled me. And I had to find out what in heaven's name he was doing. Because if he was going to refuse to help a little helpless woman like that, then maybe sometime he refused to help me. The woman turned around to Peter, James, John, Matthew, his disciples, Jews. And she said, hey, I heard different about this man. I heard he'd help me. Please, you're his right-hand man. You can get to him. Please, go talk to him. Oh, Peter, boy, so full of pride and prejudice. Get away, woman. What? Go away, woman. What's wrong with you? What are you acting like this for? Hey, Lord. Yeah? Send this woman away. All right. All right. What is it, Gentile dog? All right. Okay. All right. Okay. She's touching me. No, get your hand off me, lady. And he was Jewish. Right. Ain't no Gentile touched Jew. Right. And Jesus turned around and said, that's right, woman, go on home. Get out of here. Uh-huh. I'm not sent to help you. Go on, woman, leave. Amen. Go on, woman! I have not been sent to help you! You all getting a little confused? No need to be. Just hold on to your bib overalls and we'll be all right. Do you know the story? Well, better get your nose in the book and get out of Sears and Roebuck's catalog then. See, so many people got their noses in the wish book instead of the promise book. You need to get your nose in the promise book and not in the wish book. Jesus said to the woman, I have not been sent to help you. Oh, he didn't say that. All right, you wise guys, you think you know it all. I'll tell you what he said to her. He said, I have not been sent but to the lost sheep of the house of Israel. She was a Greek, a Syrophoenician. She was not a member of the house of Israel. So he was simply saying to her, I have not been sent to help you. You got it? What did the woman do wrong? God knows that that was not the nature of Christ. She did something wrong! Boy, if we can find out what the lady did wrong, we just might find out why some of you ain't getting your answer. I guess we'll close now and go home. Good time to dismiss, ain't it? Why not? Y'all think you know it all. You ain't going, huh? You go hang in here tonight, Jerry, huh? Good. Old Jerry's getting hungry for the word, ain't he? You know why? Because Jerry could be that woman crying out for help. God turned that woman down, might turn Jerry down. Can't leave him like that. The woman made a tragic mistake. A mistake that most people make today. She approached Jesus. Hold it. Let's back up, all right? Let me get a little hypothetical. Here's a woman who got a daughter who is epileptic. She gets convulsions. The mother had watched that little child, eyes roll back in its head, shake and tremble and quake and do crazy things. And you know as well as I did that that little mother had done everything possible that a mother could do. Been to every doctor, every root man, every faith healer, every healing revival. Come on, you know what I'm saying. Went to every place that she knew and they all said, sorry, done the best we can. And the child still sick. That story could be told 10,000 times in the good old USA. Didn't prayed for, prayed over, prayed to, and prayed by. Come on. Rubbed on and rubbed in and rubbed out. Come on. Yes, right? Every new preacher, go try this one. Every new doctor, go try that. And finally, the woman just gave up. Oh, how hungry people in America today have just given up. They tried the church. They tried the preachers. They tried religion. Their homes are still miserable. Their lives are still empty. Their futures are dim. And they've given up. She decides, I'll just do the best I can. I'll take in washings and ironing, and I'll watch my own child. And day by day, she'd be ironing and doing the washing. She'd keep her eye on a little girl. And when the girl would have a spell, she'd run over quick, and she'd grab and hit her on the back and put her finger in her mouth and pull her tongues out. And she, oh, God, oh, Lord, oh, and watch the little girl shake and shake until finally she would. The mother would sit down and say, oh, honey. I wish I knew what to do for you. But I ain't got enough money. I heard about somebody 1,000 miles away. But, you know, even if I got over there, it may not work. I don't know what to do. One day sitting there, somebody come bursting through the door. I'm going to give her a name, okay? Give the lady a name. Betty. Betty! Betty! How are you, Mabel? How you doing today? She just had another one. I don't know how much longer I can take this. But Betty, I got good news. Oh, go away. Don't tell me no more of that. You know I've tried everything. Just go away. But Betty, this you ain't never heard this before. This is something brand new. Oh, go away, please. I can't take no more. I'm giving everything I got. I'll spend everything. My girl, please, just go away. But Betty, you got to hear me. Yeah. What is it? Jesus. You know, Jesus of Nazareth. You know the one we heard from Nazareth? He raised the dead, cleansed the lepers, fed the 5,000, turned the water into wine. Oh, well, what about him? He's coming right down the road. He's just about a few blocks away. But Mabel, he's a Jew. It ain't going to do me no good to go out there. He's a Jew. Don't you know? Jews don't do nothing for us. But Betty, we heard that he helps everybody. You don't care whether you got any money or not. Yeah, but he's a Jew. What have you got to lose, Betty? It's worth a try. But how am I going to get to him? He got those guys around him. They're prejudiced. And there's 10,000 people out there all trying to get to him. How am I going to get to them? But you got to try. But what am I going to do about my little girl? Who going to watch her? I'll watch her. You go. I'll watch her. Okay. And hope begins to rise. Oh, if I could just get your hope to work. Faith is the substance of things hoped for. If I can just get hope to come. We're all so concerned about trying to get faith to work. All we got to do is get some hope in it. A little hope and faith will begin to rise. Now she gets up. Can you see her? Oh, now come on. You see what some folk don't understand? That faith is a desperate act. The reason why some of you folk ain't got no faith is you ain't desperate. You don't need money. You got a paycheck. Come on, you don't need healing. You got health insurance. Why in the world would you need healing when you don't need the old rugged cross? You got Blue Cross.
Amen.
You don't need the shield of faith. You got Blue Shield. You got the clinic. You don't need free grace. You got free clinics. You don't need the gospel. You got pink pills. You're not desperate. When all hope was gone, for her love for her little child, she says, all right, I'll make an effort. Now she runs down the street, and here comes Jesus. Can you see him coming? Walking along a crowd of people. How am I going to get to him? Oh, God. How am I going to get to him? She runs down and she watches him closer and closer and closer and closer and closer. Her heart beats fast. And all of a sudden she bursts from the side of the road. She runs out there before anybody knows it and she falls down. Jesus!
Yes.
Thou son of David! Have mercy! Have mercy on me! My daughter is grievously vexed with the devil! He looks at her and walks away. Oh, yes, he did. Oh, yes, he did. And he answered her not one word. What did I do wrong? Is that Jesus?
Yes.
Why did he treat me like this? Aren't you one of his?
Yeah.
Please, 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 sir. Please, don't talk to him for me. Get away from me, woman. Get your hands off me, you filthy thing, you. Hey, they were prejudiced folk. Come on, sit down. Y'all don't believe I'm preaching the right, do you? Be quiet now. You're late. Don't disturb me now. Peter says, woman, get your hand off of me. Hey, Lord. Yeah, Peter. Will you get rid of this woman? She's making a spectacle thing. She's holding on to my pants. She's grabbing on to me. People going to think I'm funny. Make her leave me alone. Jesus, woman. Gone.
Right.
Move. I'm not here to help you.
Right.
I haven't been sent but to the lost sheep of the house of Israel.
All right.
And you're not an Israelite.
Right.
And you're not a lost sheep. So get on out of here.
All right.
Oh, God. What did I do wrong? That ain't what I heard about here. You see, the truth of the matter is, when Jesus said that, he actually preached her a little sermon. She made a mistake, you see. She made a mistake, a very tragic mistake. The truth of the matter is, when Jesus said that, he actually preached her a little sermon. She made a mistake, you see. She made a mistake, a very tragic mistake. She actually tied his hands. She said, O Lord, thou son of David. That made him a man. as a man, he could not help her. Jesus never helped anybody as a man. If he would have, then men would have been taught to trust in men. He only helped people as God. The woman approached him as a man, and he said, "Woman, if that's what you think I am, the son of David, a Jew, then you're out of place. You have no right. You have no claims. Move." And instead of getting mad like some of you would, instead of getting upset, she caught it. And she changed her whole plea. "Oh, I see it. But wait a minute. Wait a minute. I heard that you were the Son of God.
All right.
That you're more than a man."
All right.
And she came and she fell down and she worshiped him. And she changed her whole plea. "Lord, Lord, 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 help me." Notice that. Notice that. Not, "Lord, help my daughter. Or defeat the devil. You help me. I'll whoop the devil. Take him home, daughter." Somebody say amen. Oh, hallelujah. Boy. Jesus said, "Woman." "Yeah." "It ain't right. It ain't right to take children's bread. Give it to the dog." Truth. 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 When are we going to start saying truth? Come on, truth, Lord. Truth. "You're a sinner." Truth. "You're wicked." Truth. "You need to be saved." Truth. "You're no good." Truth. Come on, truth, Lord. "But even the dogs eat of the crumb." Truth, Jerry. "You ain't worth nothing. You ain't worth nothing. No good. Truth. Truth. That's right, Jerry. Truth. You failed. You flopped out. You failed as a man. You failed as a son. You failed. You failed. Truth. But he'll deliver you. Sets you free. Put a song in your heart. Hallelujah. Joy in your step. A purpose in your life. Truth, young men. Truth. You ain't worth saving. But he loves you. Don't know why, but he does. Why he should care for me will always be a mystery. He holds the whole world in his hand, but what am I? Oh, hallelujah. Somebody say praise the Lord. In loving kindness, Jesus came my soul in mercy to reclaim. And from the depths of sin and shame, in love he lifted me. From sinking sand he lifted me. With tender hand he lifted me. Oh, praise his name. He lifted me. Truth. Truth, Lord. Woman, it's not right to take children's bread and give it to a dog. Can you imagine him talking to this generation like that? Everybody teaching us we are somebody. Have confidence in yourself. Believe in yourself. You know. What a mess. Believe in you? Put confidence in you? "Well, I'm as good as the next fella." Sure you are, but he ain't no good either. Truth, Jerry. Come on, don't you start fighting in the spirit now. Truth. You flopped out, son. You're not going to make it. Unless you turn everything over to Jesus. And that's why I got you here. Truth! "Oh, I can drink beer with the best of them." How's that? How good is that? "Oh, I can hang in there, are you?" Everybody gonna come to the end. Truth! Woman said, "Truth, Lord. but even the dogs eat of the crumbs that falls from the master's table. Look at that. She said, she didn't say, give me the whole loaf. She said, man, all I need is one crumb. That's all I need. Just a crumb. Just, you go ahead and feed the kids. Just let me get under the table. Huh? Just let me be a dog. I'll be all right. Jesus looked at that woman and said, woman, he said something to her that has never been said to anybody else. Never. 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 Preachers miss it. Theologians overlook it. Scholars can't find it. See, everybody says, if it's God's will, if it's God's will, if it's God's will. Here's a woman that went right beyond God's will. Faith backed God into a corner. Faith challenged God to be God. You either be God or shut up. Do what you say or shut up. Somebody said, I wouldn't talk to God like that. If you know him, you will. If you know him like you ought to, you can. Oh, me and the Lord many times had roles like that. There's been many a time to say, what? You telling me it? Then do it. Look at them, look at me. I'd be afraid to talk to God like that. They that know their God shall be strong and do exploits. I remember when my oldest son was hit by an automobile and the doctors was going to butcher him up. I said, you leave him alone. I said, that boy dies, I take it up with God. And I told God straight out, you let that boy die, you're a damn liar. And I'll never serve you again. The same thing with this race problem. I used to tell God years ago when I was preaching to the black people in Alabama getting beat up and kicked all over the place. And I used to tell people, if God don't love black folk, I refuse to serve them. Any God who would make a man black and did not love him is a damn God. I wouldn't serve him. He's not trustworthy. Suppose he made me black. You better watch how you feel about the other race. You could have been that one. Amen, folk. You better be glad that God so loved the world. To tell God many times, don't you ever let me understand that you make a man and then don't love him because he, or what his color is or what his race is. I wouldn't serve a God like that. Wouldn't do it. Wouldn't. Let people look. If I ever find out that you lied once, I'll curse you to your face. Somebody said, how can you say that? Because I know he ain't going to lie. It's as simple as that. I wasn't putting myself in no precarious position. I was in the safest position that I could be. Can't you understand that? Look what the woman said to Jesus said to the woman. Look what he said to her. Look what he said to her, Jerry. I don't know why I'm picking on you tonight. I'm not picking on you. I'm just trying to help you. You believe that? I'm doing it. Look what he said to her. He said, woman, only two places in the Bible Jesus said this. He said, woman, great is thy faith. Only two places in the Bible that Jesus ever called faith great. And both of them were people outside of the covenant. One was a centurion, a Roman centurion, who had no claims on the promise of God at all. Heard about Jesus and had a Jewish servant who was sick. And came to Jesus and said, I love that man. Said, he's a good fella. Said, please, come and heal him. And Jesus said, I'll come. He sent his other servants and said, I'll come. And when the man heard that Jesus was coming to his house, just proud arrogant, powerful Roman centurion came running down the street and said, "Lord, I'm not worthy that you should come to my house. So I'll tell you what you do. Just speak the word only." He said, "You see, I'm a man of authority. I say to this one, do this, and he does it. And I say to that one, go there, and he goes." He said, "So just speak the word, and my servant will be all right." Jesus turned him around and said, "I have not found so great a faith in all of Israel." And then he said to the man, "Go thy way. Thy servant liveth." "Thank you. Thank you, sir. Thank you. Thank you." And down the road he goes. He gets about halfway home and his other servants come out and say, Master, your servant, your beloved, he's fine. What time did he start getting well?" "Yesterday about 3:00. "Isn't that remarkable? Same time that fellow said everything will be all right." Oh, hallelujah. I say, praise the Lord. Glory. Thank you, Jesus. Come on and say everything going to be all right. Come on, lift your hand and say everything going to be all right. Oh, hallelujah. He got the whole world in his hand. Go ahead, mama. That sounds like home. I like that kind of talking. Boy, the Lord's in this place. My God, you can reach out and get a chunk of them right now. Oh, I feel so strong in this place. Why don't you go ahead and get what you need from the Lord tonight? Speak the word only. Look what Jesus said to the woman. He said to her, "Woman, great." Listen to this. God, you got to hear it. My God, if you don't hear it, it's worth nothing. Everything's worthless. If you don't get this part right here, everything's worthless. He said, "Woman, great is thy faith. Be it unto thee, even as I will." That ain't what he said, is it? He said, "Be it unto you even as thou will." I ain't got nothing to say about it. You have whatever you want. With that kind of faith, even the Son of Man and the Son of God says, "So be it." With that kind of faith, the answer can only be, "So be it. Your will. Your will." If you will to do His will. If you will to do His will. If you will to do His will. You shall know of the doctrine. You shall know of the revelation. You shall know of the truth. You shall have the experience. Hallelujah. If you do His will. I delight to do Thy will, O God. Be it unto you as you will. Baltimore, Maryland. Large gospel tent. Cursed be time. Don't start looking at your watches now. You ain't got no place to go but home. Young man comes in. Polio. Got a brace around his waist and down one of his legs. Got another brace around his chest and one of his arms. Comes under the tent, walks down. When he has to sit down, he has to stand still and crack the brace and get a hold of the chair and help himself down. When he wants to get up, got to shove, click the brace, and there he stands. But all night long in that meeting, we would say, "Everybody stand," and he would get up. "So you may be seated." And he would sit down. "Everybody stand and praise the Lord." He'd get up. Click. And we'd clap our hands. He would clap his. When we praise the Lord, he'd raise his hand. Praise the Lord. Hallelujah. Thank you, Jesus. Three nights he comes. Third night he walks in with the braces on the outside of his clothes. Lift your hands, say, praise the Lord. Praise the Lord. Praise the Lord. Thank you, Jesus. Hallelujah. Everybody try and shake hands with somebody. God bless you. Huh? Now you may be seated. Praise the Lord. Let's all stand and sing Blessed Assurance. Click. Blessed Assurance. Jesus is my... You hear me? You hear me? Finally, the preacher who I was working with looked at him and said, you see that boy? I said, isn't that something? That's something going to happen tonight. He says, come here, son. The boy comes staggering down front. What you got your braces on the outside for? Well, I've been coming three nights, and tonight I'm going to take them off. Tonight I'm going to get healed. He sits down on the platform, and I don't mind telling you, I don't think either one of us preachers had enough faith for that boy. We just knew we had to do what God had told us to do. That was all. I don't think we had no faith, enough faith for that boy at all. At all. I'll never forget that night. We sat there. He sat on it, and we just put our hands on him, and we did according to the word. Agreed. Father, in Jesus' name, heal the boy. You know, make him well. We rebuke the polio and command the legs to straighten out, the arms to be loosed. Before we could say it, almost before our very eyes, the boy popped the braces. I'm still saying, down they fell. He popped the ones and he stood to his feet and down it went. He reached over and picked them up and took off running. Oh, hallelujah. I never seen anything like it. People went wild. They started knocking the tent down, knocking the chairs over. The Holy Ghost was moving. Somebody said, I don't believe that. Then go to hell. You unbeliever. To think that God cannot do it. You're a fool. He's able to raise the dead. Sister Williams, one day living in New York, down in the basement of our church, and I hadn't seen her for several days, called her daughter, said, is your mother over there? No. Where happened, Sister Williams? She never done that. Sunday morning comes, she's nowhere around. I said to my assistant pastor, I said, something wrong. I can't find Sister Williams. I don't know why I didn't go in her apartment, but I just didn't. I was very apprehensive. I had a strange feeling. I said, Brother Mac, go with me down to Sister Williams' apartment. I don't know what happened to her. And I opened the door and I went in. There she was, laying on the bed. I picked her up by her shorts. Wake up, Doc! Wake up! Wake up! My God, wake up, woman! Not a move. Not a move. Just as dead as dead could be. I said, oh, my God. I said, this woman had been a prayer partner with me for years. And I was going through some trials and I was needing her prayers. I said, Brother Mac, go upstairs and start service. Mac went upstairs and started service. I grabbed your daughter. I said, God, you can't be dead. I need you! Wake up! I said, in the name of Jesus, get out of this bed. I'm going upstairs to start service. I want to see you. And I walked out of the door and went upstairs. 5 minutes later, I saw her come walking in. Oh, hallelujah! Somebody said, I don't believe that. Well, we did. He wasn't dead. Enough. Enough to make me think she was. Feel she was. Come on, folk! If thou canst believe, all things are possible to them that believe. Can you believe that tonight?
be it unto you even as thou wilt. Thou wilt. My God, Mama. You know what they told me? They told me I'm going to get old.
Yeah. And I said, Lord, what am I going to do when I get old? Now, I've been pretty healthy when I was young, you know, but if I get old, what am I going to do?
And all I could think about was what David said, I was young. And then I got old. But I never saw the righteous forsaken, nor his seed begging bread. So it don't make no difference whether you're young or old tonight. Just be righteous. Oh, hallelujah! Just be right with God, that's all. Just have your calling and election sure and your name written in the Lamb book of life. And then rejoice not because the sick are healed or because the devils are subject, but rejoice because your name is written down. Lord, my God, what I got to do in Charleston to get these folk alive, Lord? All that preaching like that, and they sit around here like a bunch of deadheads. Hallelujah. Glory be to God. How about it? Say praise the Lord. Amen. Hallelujah. He lives. Sits high and looks low. Got all power in his hand. You believe it tonight? Reach over and touch somebody and say, in Jesus' name. Come on, say it. In Jesus' name. Oh, hallelujah. Glory to God. Glory to God. Praise the name of the Lord. 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 Hallelujah. Glory to the Father, to the Son, and to the Holy Ghost. Oh, blessed be the God and Father of our Lord and Savior Jesus Christ. Oh, thanks be unto God who always causes us to triumph in our Lord Jesus Christ. Praise the Lord. 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 Thank you, Jesus. Thank you, Jesus. Thank you, Jesus. Thank you, Lord. Praise Him, praise Him, praise Him, praise Him, praise Him. Praise Him, praise Him, praise Him. Hallelujah. By His grace, you are saved. By His stripes, you are healed. We are more than a conqueror through Christ Jesus, who loved us. He gave himself for us. It would be an insult to pray now and ask God to heal you. Be an insult. He's already done it. He's already done what He said He would do. He's already done what He said He would do. Speak, Lord. Speak the word only. Hallelujah. People often ask me how I keep from getting sick. And I got a common answer. The reason I don't get sick, because I won't go to a doctor so he can tell me I'm sick. I always go to Jesus, and He always says, by my stripes, you are healed. And He's the same yesterday, today, and forever. Can you believe it tonight? Can you believe it? Thou canst believe. All things are possible. To them that believe. I have a girl, she's 16 now.
You may be seated if you like. I'm going to be through here in about 5, 10, 15, 20, 30, 40, 50 minutes. I have a girl who's 16 now, but when she was very small, she was very tender, always cried very easily. I learned so much from my children. And if I would even just look at her in anger, she'd start to cry. And if I scolded her, you couldn't hardly control her. She just couldn't stand for Daddy to get on her. It's just out of the question. And one day, she was being naughty. No big thing, just fussing with her sister. And I just climbed all over. I said, "You stop that! You naughty thing, you! What's wrong with you?" Boy, she began to cry. I said, "Stop it! Stop that crying! You don't stop, I'm gonna give you something to cry about." "Cut it out! I don't hear nothing." Now there she stood. Standoff, wasn't it? What am I going to do? I can't holler at her no more. She'd done everything I told her to do. Huh? And I'm trying to figure out what the next step is. And finally the little girl says, "Are you all done, Daddy? Did you hear that? How many heard that? Huh? Are you all done, Daddy?" "Yeah, I'm done. Just behave yourself so I have to get after you again." Can I say something to you?" "Yeah, what do you want to say?" "I love you." Boy, I reached out and grabbed that little girl. Put my arms around her. "I love you too, honey." Ain't no way I could... No way. She won. She won. Now maybe you've been naughty, disobedient, and the Lord's saying, "Straighten up! Oh, stop that crying. You get exactly what you deserve. Stop it all, you whimpering child." "Are you all done, Jesus?" "Yes, I'm done, but you just walk straight now and be good." "Can I say something to you?" "Yeah, what do you want to say?" "I love you, Jesus." You know what he's going to do? He's going to get off his throne and step right down through the clouds and put his arms around you, hallelujah, and pick you up. And as James Cleveland said, he will pick you up and turn you around. Hallelujah! 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 Jesus saves. Oh, brother and sister, I don't know what else to say to you tonight. He's God all by himself. How many like to... How many...